Well, good morning, everybody. Boy, I don't need myself in the monitor just yet. hey, we hope you're enjoying our time. Good morning, everybody. Glad you're all here. You know, the extra hour that you lost, you know, you can make it up this afternoon. So we hope you've been enjoying our financial series. I think we're coming to the end of it, so you can all breathe a sigh of relief and shout amen because we're going to be done with it. No? Amen. you know, if you have any, you know, over the last couple of weeks, if you have any questions or any issues or things that you want to have us address yet, then let us know, kind of like by today. Otherwise, we're going to move on to something else. You know, today we're going to wrap it up. And here's what we've kind of summarized to this point, okay? Call these the Cliff Notes. Come on, it's been a while since I used it. I haven't used that joke like since last year. You know, in finding freedom in your finances, you know, first of all, we want you to understand that the key to your success, the key to to financial freedom and success is how you think about money. How you think about money then determines how well and how successful and how wisely you are able to give it, save it, and spend it, and do so wisely. That's the goal, right? And so this is, you know, it's an individual journey. Certainly, there is a power. This is Alicia's message from a few weeks ago, the substantial return on unity. There is certainly an exponential return when you are able to put your resources together. So if you're a husband and a wife, then, you know, your resources together as a family. We're going to talk today about, as a church, what we can do when we put everybody pools together and puts together towards a common goal, then you accomplish a far more than what one person can do. That's why Ecclesiastes say two are better than one. You get a better return. Okay, so combining your resources results in growth and ability. But understand that these are, right, your plans, okay, your plans, your giving, your saving, your spending, all right, they are your own. Everybody say, it's my own. Right, it's your journey, okay? This is an individual journey. You give, you save, you spend as each one has purposed in his heart. That's what 2 Corinthians 9 tells us, right? So this is, you know, we don't want anybody in this series to feel under compulsion or feel obligated or feel driven by guilt. That's not the purpose at all. We don't talk about, you know, when it comes to giving, we don't pass buckets. We don't even talk about it here. But what we do want to do is give you God's word so that you can effectively apply it to every area of your life so that you can have what the Bible says you can have, which is peace and joy and freedom and prosperity. Amen? Amen. So that's why we do it. Okay, but it's your journey. You know, it's your own. No one's going to question you or judge you for it. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. It's your journey. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. It is a journey of discovery, right? It's a journey. It's in this relationship with the Lord. It's a partnership. It's not just the letter of the law, but it's the heart of it. What is God doing in your heart, in your mind, in your life? And as you trust him, as you step out in faith, right, then his word and his promises come alongside, and that's what works with our faith to bring about his will and his purposes. So it's a journey, okay? So enjoy it. You know, just enjoy it. And so, again, we do these things not out of obligation, not out of compulsion, but cheerfully and willfully and joyfully. Why? Because we're exercising faith. And faith, you know, is stepping out and going, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And faith is being wise. Wisdom is doing now what you'll be happy with later. How many of you want to be wise? Foolishness is doing now what you will regret later. How many of you haven't been foolish before? Well, not today, not yet, you know, but time will tell, as my friend says, you know, right? So we want to be wise, you know, and that's where faith works, okay? So faith works because we are wise, we trust God. So we're talking about faith. Faith is a muscle. You know, maybe I think you realize this by now. Faith is a muscle. It can grow, it can shrink. Faith, you know, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, how small is a mustard seed? Like, it's tiny. Like, it's one of the tiniest seeds you can have. And yet, from that seed grows this giant tree that will produce, you know, maybe a million seeds, right? But it starts out really, really small. And Jesus said, if you have the smallest amount of faith, then you can speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea, right? I feel like there's a Star Wars reference in there. You know, I mean, again, Lucas was pretty adamant, pretty blatant about borrowing from religion, you know, like, oh, I just don't believe it. Well, that's why you fail, right? Okay, so the smallest faith. So small faith works really well, can do great things. But Jesus also said in Matthew 18, when he encountered the Roman centurion who said, I'm a man under authority. All you got to do, Jesus, is speak it. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to travel. You just got to say the word and it'll be done. And Jesus marveled at him and said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel, and here I find it from this Roman soldier, right? So Jesus talks about there is great faith, big, powerful faith. So we can have small faith or we can have great faith. How many of you want to have great faith? Sure. How do you get great faith? It's got to grow, right? You got to work out your faith muscle. How do we grow our faith muscle? I already told you. It's in the title. The substantial return on resistance. Everybody say resistance. See, already enthusiasm is kind of like... You're resisting me. I know, Duff. I know. Resistance is a key component to your increased health and strength. Okay. Now I'm gonna pick on you since you're sitting here, buddy. All right. I'm gonna say by no stretch of imagination am I an expert when it comes to physical health. All right. It's a journey for me, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Duffy. All right. But you're a guy who has a lot of experience with weights. Okay. Resistance is good for us. What does it do? It builds bone density. It boosts our metabolism, so you're burning calories faster, which means you can have more calories. Hello. It builds your joint stability. It increases your hormone balance and production. Right? It's good for you. Everybody say resistance is good for me. Then why do we resist it? Why do we resist resistance? It's hard. Who said that? Of course, Alicia said that, right? It's hard. It's hard work. We don't like sweating. We don't like exertion, right? It's hard. It takes commitment. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. It takes consistent application. There are days where you just don't feel like it. Amen? You're like, oh, tired of a headwind. Just give me a tailwind, Lord. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So the subtitle, if you will, for this message, and we got something special this morning. Well, we're hoping to be able to communicate and talk with our brother Vijay in Southern India in a few minutes. And why, you know, why we're talking about this, and you know, because have you heard the phrase "add weight to the bar"? Right, Duffy? You got to add weight to the bar. Okay. Let's read Hebrews 10:36. And I understand the context that he's talking about here, but how it applies to us physically and how God's word applies to every area of our life, including our finances. Let's read Hebrews 10:36. Everybody, and make it personal, okay? Instead of you language, I language, all right? For I have need of endurance so that when I have done the will of God, I may receive what was promised. Everybody say, I have need of endurance. I don't like it, but I need it. What's the writer of Hebrews telling us? He's saying, listen, Jesus has done the work of salvation. He says, but after that, he says, if you want to receive the promises of God, you got to put the work in. You got to put the effort in, and it takes a lot. It is a daily grind to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to submit every area of your life to God's ways. There is constant resistance, and he says, so if you want to have faith, you want to have great faith that's going to carry you through, not just for this next moment, this next day, but for the rest of your life, you got to build endurance. You got to build up for the long haul. The life of a disciple of Christ is a marathon, not a sprint. And a lot of us want to sprint, like, yay, I'm all out for you. Yeah, I'm going great for you for like a week. And after that, we're like, I got to do this all the time? Yep. How do you get there? You build endurance. Okay? And so there are general ways to add resistance that increases our health and our strength, okay? And I'm going to make this, I don't care which one you are, it doesn't matter. They're both good. They're both productive, okay? So you can do low reps with a lot of weight, okay? So you throw a lot of weight on a bar and you do it, you know, maybe five or six times. And what that does is it builds bulk, okay? It builds those muscles, the fast twitch muscles that are good for running and jumping and twisting, okay? You know, baseball season's coming in, so it's all in the hips, it's all in the, you know, boom. Football players, that's why you see wide receivers and all these guys, you know, they work out the weights. Why? Because they got to run and cut and jump and all that stuff. All right, and maybe you don't have to run and cut and jump a whole lot in your life anymore, but still, okay, when you gotta, you know, if you want to get up off the couch and sprint to the fridge on commercial break, you need those fast twitch muscles so you don't pull something when you get up off the couch. Amen. Amen. Okay, I knew there was another brother out there who's got me. Okay, all right. So low reps, high weight. Now, there's benefits, there's downsides, there's cautions too. Okay, if your form is incorrect when you're doing it with high weight, right, you can get hurt a lot. You can get hurt really bad if your form is incorrect. It does put a lot of stress on your joints if you haven't built up, okay? And it doesn't really build your endurance. It'll build strength, but not endurance, okay? On the other end, you could do high reps, a lot of reps, with a low amount of weight, all right? And what that will do is it's easier on your joints. It's a good way to practice the form of the thing you're doing without hurting yourself, but it's going to take a lot longer for you to develop noticeable gains, to see it in the mirror, to see it on the scale, okay? It'll take longer, and it doesn't necessarily build your peak power, all right? It's endurance, it's good for your cardiovascular system, good for the heart rate, good for your blood pressure, all that stuff, but it's not going to necessarily build that kind of power, all right? So low rep, high weight, or high rep, low weight. It doesn't matter which one you are or which one you use in your particular workout. Here's the thing, okay? You got to switch it up. If you really want to get healthy and you want to see those gains and you want to increase, you got to switch it up because your body and your mind and the flesh loves routine, loves it, thrives on it. The same thing day in and day out, get very comfortable there, and your body will adapt to that, okay? That's why people who live in Florida, Judy, Judy's you're freezing right now, aren't you? It's 60 degrees outside, and you're freezing because your body got used to 85 degrees in Florida, right? That's why, we go down to Florida. You can always tell who the Northerners are because it's November. They'll walk around in shorts and a t-shirt and everybody else is like, are you okay? It's cold down here. No, your body got acclimated to it. Same thing with your workouts. Okay. If it doesn't matter how high the reps are. If you're doing 100 pushups a day, guess what? You do it consistently. Your body's going to get used to that. And 100 pushups it's not going to matter. It's just going to be, you're just maintaining. You're not growing. Okay. And so throwing off the routine is what causes your body to respond and to grow, all right? And so to be healthy, you got to mix it up. You got to mix it up. Either add weight or add reps. That's the goal. Either add weight or add reps, okay? You got to sweat through it. Okay, again, I'm not an expert. I look at Duffy I immediately thought of, so believe it or not, okay, this picture here, that's not a selfie, okay? We believe that. That's easy. Okay, that's the first honest thing you said all day. I think of Dan and Julie Fry or Duffy. These guys are, they're fit, okay? But I understand that, in my routines and the things I work out, whether I love to ride bike, whether it's on the trainer or out on, hopefully I get out on the road this week, temperatures being nice, my trainer's got 5 programs on it. And I know I have this in my mind, if I ride that trainer, and I do that workout routine, and if I pace at 20 miles an hour or above for the routine, I know it's time to kick up the resistance because it's too easy now. So I got to kick it up. Right? If I can do the reps, and if I can do the HIIT workout and not have to take a breath in between, it's too easy. I gotta add weight or add the reps. Okay, so that's how it works. Okay, so resistance. 9:17. I got 3 minutes to do this. All right, here we go. I need a volunteer. Come here, Duffy. Okay, so talking about resistance, because in my previous life, I was a parole officer, and as a parole officer, I was an instructor. I taught a lot of tactics and control, and because the use of force, and for law enforcement officers, the use of force is legal to effect, to maintain, establish, lawful control. Okay, so now this is just a purely, this is purely for hypothetical reasons. Okay, come on over here, buddy. Gonna be on camera. All right. So he's a big dude. I ain't gonna hurt you. I ain't gonna hurt you. I promise.
I just don't want to hurt you.
You don't want to hurt me. I appreciate that. I appreciate that concern. Okay. So like Duff's a big dude, right? Okay. You know, he's probably bigger in his shoulders than I am, even. You know, and you probably outweigh me by about 10 pounds. So.
1,000, something like
give
that.
Or take a zero on the end of that. Okay. So you would think, well, Cliff, you know, you're going to, and I would say, if I had to tangle with Duffy, I would definitely be calling for backup first and foremost. But if I had to, right, if I had to control you, okay, there are things that we can do that, like, okay, I'm just going to, all right, I want you to come with me. And if Duff decides he wants to pull away from me right now, like, there ain't nothing that's going to stop him from doing that, right? There's that, okay? So we teach, okay, a wrist lock. All right, because if I need you to come with me, and you say, no, I don't want to do that, and I say, no, you need to come with me, so then we end up with this, and we put this wrist lock on him. Now, if I put this on him here, like, first of all, do you feel any pressure?
No.
He's like, get the flea away from me here, right? And if I say, you got to come with me, and he decides he wants to go that way, you know, well, okay, now we got a tug of war, and see, he's pulling me off, okay? So I have pressure here. You can feel that I'm holding you there. So pressure, right? But what is effective for this to work is not only do you need pressure, you need counter pressure. So when I lock him in here, now you can see him change already, right?
Yep.
If I say, come on over here, he's coming with me. I don't care how big he is, right? And all it takes is a little bit there, right?
Yep.
But all it takes is the counter pressure is what works,
yep.
Right? All right, thanks, buddy. What's the point of all? How does that really? Cliff, that's great. That's funny. And you picked on Duffy for a while, but what does that have to do with finances? Okay, the point is in our finances. Okay, in our giving, that there are times where God, I believe, calls us to add weight to the bar, to step, pick up our game a little bit, to shake it up. Okay, and what works, you know, mastery. Okay, see, to be master over Duffy exists within the structure of pressure. We think that, wow, freedom is having no pressure whatsoever, then I can do whatever I want and I'm good. And that's actually not healthy, and not if you want to maintain control. If you want to maintain control, you have to live in a state of pressure and counter-pressure. You got to be constantly having that resistance on there, okay? And so I know we love tailwinds when we ride, right? But headwinds are what give you the endurance to be able to do that, okay? So when we add weight to our workout routines, when we add weight, if you're, you know, metaphorically speaking, to our giving, it's not a punishment. It's not something like, it's a burden. It's, hey, what worked before previously worked. We gave, you know, we trusted God, we gave, and he provided for us, and look at that. So now here's an opportunity to say, okay, I've gotten comfortable in my giving. I've gotten comfortable where I am. And now I don't even feel it anymore. We got to add resistance. Ratchet it up, you know. And some of you, you know, well, we're going to talk about it a little bit. I want to get to VJ. I'm sure he's probably waiting for me at this point. So we add weight because it worked. It built something. And so now is the time to grow, to push yourself beyond the plateau where you are. All right, so that's what we're talking about. And there are definitely seasons where God calls us to add weight to the bar. And why do I say that is because, you know, we have an opportunity here in this season to up our game a bit when it comes to supporting our brothers and sisters in Southern India. So we wanted to talk about it. It's been on my heart for some time, so bear with me. I got to do some technical stuff here while we switch the computers around and get them ready to go, all right? But, you know, the long story short is that, you know, we have partnered with Goyi Missions in Southern India for the better part of 40-some years. Yeah, I mean, 1985, 86, somewhere in there, you know? I can't talk and do this at the same time. Okay, I got to do that first, and then I can come over here to my meeting to make sure this is my, oop, that's the wrong one. That's the 11 o'clock meeting. We're going to do this twice. There it is. Start. Yep, we're going to join. So we've partnered with Goyi Missions in Southern India for, again, the better part of Woo! Okay. Yep, I don't need that. Now, we'll just wait and see. Oh, there he is. All right, that's quick. Okay, so there's Serena. That's a nice picture there. Okay. What? Yeah, I'm getting there. Right. Yep. Okay. Has to unmute. All right. I'm going to let them get. Hello? They're coming. All right, so we've been partners with Valu and his brother Elan for how many years? I have pictures when I was a kid, 10, 11 years old, of Valu and his brother Elan playing wiffle ball in my parents' backyard. You know, so like these are brothers and sisters. This is not some faceless organization. We recognize that a lot of you might not even know who they are. It's been 7 years since. Hey, there he is. Hey, buddy. All right, hang on here. I'm gonna turn this around. Looks like he froze. All right, I gotta get the stool here. We did test this the other day to make sure it would work, but you know. I'm going to sit here and talk and see if he catches up to us or not. Anyway, that's VJ. So Valu and his brother Elan started Goyi Missions right around probably the same time that Rick and Nancy started, BMCC here, and God knit their hearts through a great story, which we would love to tell more in depth. And it's been 7 years since we went to visit them in southern India, and it's been on my heart and on my mind to go. And we actually, Jenny and I were scheduled to go about 3 years ago, and then my visa got rejected, and so that canceled that. And the political world being what it is right now, it makes travel a little difficult. After the thing with Iran, there aren't too many despots left, so things should settle down a little bit. Say that again, Floyd. Okay, I want to make him the. How do I? Yeah, I see. Oops, that's not what I wanted. Huh? What? Say that again, Seth.
If you go up to his picture,
yeah.
Dots, yeah. Pin,
yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Yep. It's funny how your brain will not compute when you're under pressure, you know? Yep. What?
I don't know what to say.
What are you telling me no for? Yeah. All right, there's Serena, who's on mute.
Hello, BMCC.
There she is. So a few. Morning. So there's a few technical difficulties, but we're getting through it. How are you this morning? Nighttime.
Yeah, fine.
Right. What time is it there?
It's almost 6:50.
Almost 7 o'clock.
6:50. Almost seven.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Great. How was church service this morning?
Yeah, it was very nice.
Great, great. So I'm just telling the congregation a little bit about who you are, okay? So bear with me, and then hopefully we can get VJ back up here, right? They wanted to do two computers so that they could all be on screen. So anyway, all that to say is, you know, we've been partnered with them for some time. You know, we were able to visit with them, and there's a great story of how God is using VJ and Serena as the next generation of leaders, just like it is here, with Jenny and I having inherited from Rick and Nancy, you know. And GOE Missions is not some organization where we're blind to it or throwing money at it. We have long supported them from the beginning with their work in southern India, the very southern tip of India, Nagarkoil, India, at the very bottom is where they're located. And, you know, and they work in the villages, they work in the remote areas, and we have done a lot of things over the decades to support their work. Most recently, over the last, say, maybe 10 years or so, is we had supported an orphanage that they were running because people would just drop infants off at their doorstep. And so we supported that at $2,300 a month. And that's where, that, you know, that was, that's completely dependent upon offerings. We support VJ and Valu, his uncle, as missionaries. We support them with $500 a month for the two families, okay? And we do that so that they don't have to work to support themselves so that they can go and do the ministry, okay? Valu and his brother Elan, and then Elan passed away a few years ago. And so it's his son, VJ, that has answered the ministry call and stepped into it to become the next generation of leadership there. So this is an ongoing partnership that I absolutely believe should continue. The orphanage closed in somewhere around 2018, and we visited there in 2019, and what we were able to see is what God was doing with the $2,300 a month that we were sending. And what VJ has done is they go into the cities, they go into the poorest of the poorer cities, they bring education and a meal to the lowest class of kids. And they enhance their education, give them a meal because poverty and not having food is one of the biggest factors there, and then they give them the gospel, right? Why do you do this? Well, because Jesus loves you, right? And then as that happens, the parents say, well, why are you investing in my child? Nobody cares about, they understand, nobody cares about my kid. And they say, well, because Jesus loves you. And that's how the gospel is growing in India, not just southern India, but all the way up into Chennai now and all throughout. And so that's where that money that we send them every month, where that goes to support local pastors who are working in these areas. And, you know, it's just really incredible to see. And it is still my hope and prayer to go to India. And I would love to take some of you with me because it'll not only is it, you know, will it transform your worldview, but you just can't help but fall in love with the people. You know, it's just simply amazing. So, but we haven't talked about it, and certainly because nothing beats in person, right? So not being able to be there, we haven't been able to talk about it, and you can see already, you know, we're having some technical issues here, but, you know, it's worth a shot to see what's happening so that you know what you're actually supporting. And we'll be honest, that support, the monthly support for GOE Missions has kind of been waning off the last few months, and so we've had to make up that $2,300 a month from our missions fund that comes from the tithe, where the church tithes 10% into missions for special projects. And what VJ also...
VJ looks good.
Oh, it looks good?
I think so.
Oh. All right. Let me come here.
Can you hear me?
Hey, I hear you. Hey, buddy. Good evening.
Hi.
So I was just telling the congregation how awesome you guys both are. he's starstruck, right? So what can you tell us, VJ, Serena? Tell us real short, you know, how has God called you to the ministry? Like, your, you know, the two-minute testimony.
Anyway, good morning and praise the Lord. To be very frank, you know, my first visa got cancelled, U.S. visa got cancelled in 1987. Otherwise, I would have been there. So, anyways, it's God's plan that I'm here. As Pastor Cliff said, working in a IT company, that's a bank in Dubai. That was in 2012. And from there, I came here after my father's death. I came here, he died in 2009. And, you know, I clearly knew the God's plan. So I took, you know, 2 years, 2.5 years to come here. And after I came here, you know, we stayed there like a real church. You know, we had prayer meetings before. We have village outreach ministries. But we didn't have a proper, you know, kind of church. My vision was a proper church also. So we started in 2012. I took over Goi Missions and everything in that, you know, all the actions, all the responsibilities. Yeah, from it's been 14 years enjoying.
Yeah.
And I'm joined by my wife and Sharina. I saw my son also, that's Amit Kingston. He has finished his bachelor's in engineering. And he's going for a master's. And of course, for the next meeting, my daughter will also church. She's in Uzbekistan. She's in her medicine studies. Yeah, that's how God is leading us. He's taking care of us.
Amen.
Nice to meet you all. You know.
Yeah, it's good to see you, buddy.
I cannot be physically there, but then I can see you all. It's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So, you know, Vijay's English is pretty good, but what he said, you know, he was working in IT in Dubai when his dad passed away in 2009, and that's when he felt the call to come back. And there's great, all these stories we could tell, but we don't have a lot of time for that. But we want to do this on a regular basis. So I just wanted to help translate a little bit, okay? All right, so what's Goi Missions doing right now? What's it look like in India right now?
See, Goi Missions is an organization which reaches people, you know, for Christ. So it's been more than, it started in 77, 76, 76, 77, and it's been 50 years. So we've reached a lot of people, thousands of children mainly, through the Sunday classes, tuition centers, VBS every year, and after like... And one more thing is like BMCC and Goi Mission, the friendship and the bond is almost 40 years. My Uncle Velu first visited US in 1986, if I'm not wrong. Maybe a few things maybe changed, but then it is almost 40 years when Pastor Rick also, so it's been 40 years. And then after a year, my father, Ellen, also came there. He was there in BMCC. So this bond is almost 40 years. So after like 2012, when the next administration came, like 2012, Uncle Rick, actually Jani, and everybody came to Dubai and they visited me. Everybody, so that time I was coming to
Pastor
Cliff took over and we jointly been doing a lot of things, especially VBS and Christmas programs. We started with a few numbers and it has reached more than 1,600, 1,700 kids every year. So in different parts of Tamil Nadu. So it is like one center, it is 100, 150, 50. So it is like 1,700 in the month of April. And every year when we finish the VBS, you know, there's a lot of change in the families and people are coming to the local church where we are conducting. So it's been a powerful ministry and we have literature, ministry, everything.
So what he said was that they're, you know, they're the tuition centers, and they have a vacation Bible school program coming up. And they're going to reach 1,600 to 1,700 kids with that program. And so that's a five-day program. They go out and they, you know, same. It's like all day then of during, because the school's out. When does school end for you guys? It's soon. Regular school ends
soon, like this March end it'll end because the elections in Tamil Nadu are coming. So it depends. The date is not yet announced, but almost we'll start the VBS by first or second week of April.
Right, right. So after the regular school session lets out, they'll go into their vacation Bible school, kind of like, just like we do here. And so that's a five-day program, all day, you know, with crafts and education and stuff and meals, and then they give them gifts and things to support the family. So that's where, and I bring this up because we have, how many years have we been doing this, Vacation Bible School?
It's more than 7-8 years.
Seven, 8 years, right? So. Yeah. And so we have supported them every year with this. And we have, as a church management team, have always just paid it out of our missions fund because it was there. So that the costs anywhere from $12,000 to $20,000 is what we're talking, okay? And so the cost this year, VJ, we said it was $20,000. I had the figure, the exact figure then, but it's around that ballpark, okay? So around $20,000. To reach in excess of 1,700 kids with the gospel, to give them a meal or three meals a day, actually, and all the stuff that goes into that. And so what that does is, again, it's just how the gospel is exploding, because from that then they will raise up local pastors to oversee those areas. They work really like small groups do here. That's what it looks like, not necessarily big buildings and things like that, because that attracts attention. What's it like, VJ, Serena, what's it like under the current government with the ruling party? I know you said you have elections coming up. What are you praying for, and how will that impact what you do?
Actually, the elections are for Tamil Nadu. It is a state. It's not for India. It's not for prime minister. It's for totally
local election.
It's not that easy to go inside. Yeah, it's not local kind of. Yes, that's a election, main election for us who live in Tamil Nadu. So we have 234 constituency, so that's an election for that. But altogether, you know, it's not very easy to do ministry in India, especially in villages. You know, that's not an easy task. You cannot start a church like that, you know, because we need permissions, and the permission is not given, it is denied mostly. So it's a little hard under this government. It has been the third regime, so for almost 12 years it has been very tough. So apart from that, our pastors, you know, our ministers have they are penetrating inside the village, they're taking all the risks, you know, they're gathering. There are a few problems, but yes, we are succeeding every year.
Amen. <Yeah. laughs> Amen. So, what's the biggest obstacle for GOYI Missions?
Obstacles. Obstacles. God is taking care of all the obstacles. But then, yeah, this reaching out to the these things, and you know, few financial things are there, and everything, you know, like. Even though there are few things that is coming as a challenge, yes, God is taking us through. But then, especially the legal things, it is real challenge. When we have to go through the legal things, it is a real challenge. And every year, you know, the number of students are in, as we discussed last year, the number of children are increasing, and you know, the expenses are going high and high, but then we have put a cap, as we discussed.
Right.
We put the cap. Anyway, God is taking care of everything, and it is successfully going on. Yeah.
Amen. So what he said was that every year the number of students they're reaching is increasing, because that's what the gospel does. But we reached kind of an agreement this year that we would hold to last year's budget number, and not increase, and they would do the best they could with that. So that's where we are with that. So I just want you to understand, you know, we have very frank conversations. You know, we understand, you know, they understand that, hey, it's tough here. We know it's all relative, okay? We understand that. Standard of living and the things that you have to deal with are relative, okay? It's not about, you know, what the dollar does here versus what it does there, okay? So, yes, American dollars can help a whole lot more there than they can here, but that still doesn't alleviate the fact that things are tough here, okay? We understand that. You know, we've had conversations about that because they'll do vacation Bible school in May, and then in December there's a Christmas program that they do. So, and it's the same thing. So it's twice a year that we are investing in these kind of big projects, in addition to the monthly support that goes to the local pastors who are out there. And really, Vijay, that's what you spend a lot of your time investing in and training the local pastors, being a support to them. Is that accurate? Yeah. So that's, you're the overseer for a whole lot of people.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, how about Pastor Rick's sitting over there. Over there. So, Rick and Nancy are over there. But Rick, he just asked about how many pastors do you oversee?
Actually, we have formed a diocese, as you know.
You formed a diocese, is what you said.
Yeah, we formed a diocese because of its legal issues and all. And Uncle Velu is the archbishop of this diocese. So he's like the diocese head. Mm-hmm. And we have more than, last year we ordained for more than 240, and totally it is more than 500 pastors.
More than
that 500. Has been ordained under...
More than 500 pastors that they oversee. And what he said was that they were able to form a diocese a few years ago, which brought them some measure of insulation from the government because they're recognized. You know, Velu's, call it his stature or his position, was well known enough and established that they established him as a bishop, and now he's passed that to Vijay, who oversees the vast majority of the operations. And so that's what they spend their time doing, is equipping pastors to go and then do the actual work, okay? But I know Vijay stays very busy as well, because I see you're always teaching, you're always preaching, you always got your music going, you know? So anywhere you can get the gospel out there, you're on it, right? you got a YouTube channel, yeah?
Yes.
Say that again? They train those pastors, right. It's training. Yeah, right. It's making disciples, making leaders, so they can go and do the same. So, yeah. So that's what's happening there, right? And I know you said you've been trying to come to America for some time, and we want to come there. You know, we'll leave that in the Lord's hands, right? But until then, maybe we can do this a little more regularly, like we said, not wait 7 years.
Sure.
And I know we talked, and I know you just did send some pictures and some things that would help the congregation to see, you know, what the support is going for.
I will send some pictures. I thought of sending it before, but then, I had a little time. But anyway, next week I'll send some pictures also.
Sure.
The preparations and all, we'll send it.
Yeah.
So you can go through the pictures and videos of clips and all, we'll send it, you know.
Okay.
It's a big ministry, you know. Children, you know, they hear gospel. Like other religion children, they hear gospel. Families are being strengthened, and communities see the love of Jesus through this VBS. And of course, I'm very sure the kingdom is expanding through this BMCC and Go Mission VBS. So it's worth working for it.
Amen. Well, I just got done preaching, saying, you know, sometimes you got to add weight to the bar. You know, get a little resistance. It's hard work, but you persevere, right?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, let me pray. Why don't we pray together, and then I'll let you go for a little bit, and we'll see you again in about an hour 10 or so. Okay.
Sorry, excuse me. Can you say it again?
I can the look on your face of, huh?
The internet is
breaking. I'll pray for you guys, and then we'll let you go, and we'll see you back here in a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So if you would just join us in prayer, you know. So Heavenly Father,
we
thank you so much for who you are, Lord, that you are steadfast, you are eternal, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, not only in time, but in space. You're the same God here that you are in India. Lord, that you are the God who does all things, who has conquered all things, Lord, and it is your light in the darkness that causes the enemy to flee, that sets people free, brings them into the light and the hope and the glory that is your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, for Go Ye Missions, for decades of humble service from Valu and Elan and their families, and now Vijay and Sharina and their family, and into the next generation. Lord, thank you for richly supplying according to your needs, according to your glory, Lord, according to your resources is how you supply. So thank you, Lord, for providing all things. Thank you for giving them wisdom in knowing how to effectively communicate the gospel in meeting the needs of the people. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them and upholding them in the midst of persecution, in the midst of resistance. And thank you, Lord, for your kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for every soul that is saved, every life changed. And Lord, thank you for this, the work that continues now. And we give you the Vacation Bible School program in reaching the very least among us, those most precious to you, Lord, the children. Thank you, Lord, for the ripple effect that would extend far beyond what we could see or imagine. Lord, we don't know the full impact that it's going to have, but we trust you, Lord. As Vijay said, we trust you to remove the obstacles that your kingdom and your church would advance, and the very gates of hell would not stand against them. So thank you, Lord, for years of service alongside our brothers and sisters. Thank you for their prayers as they pray for us, and we pray for them. And Lord, it is beautiful to watch you work. Lord, so we trust you, and we look forward to what you're going to do next. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
All right, guys, MCC. We'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, that was fun. And so, you know, we wanted to share that and just, you know, let you know what's going on and get to know Vijay and Sharina a little bit. You know, they're great people. They really are. You know, and you know, when I talked to them the other day, it was just kind of like, man, I miss you guys. You know, but anyway, that's what's the need is. You know, so all that to say, you know, this isn't a cash grab. We know that. We're simply presenting the need. This is the need. You give according to how the Lord moves in your heart. If it's nothing, that's fine. If, you know, and the point is, you know, I recognize that some of you, you know, as it relates to the exercise, I know some of you are kind of like high rep, low weight givers. You give a little bit consistently, and that's great. That's wonderful. And I know some of you, the Lord has put it in your heart that you are, you know, low rep, high weight givers, that you wait for an opportunity to say, okay, I want to really give something substantial. It doesn't matter to me or to Jenny or anybody in the church management team. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. It's between you and the Lord. But all we're doing is presenting the opportunity to say, here's an opportunity for you to switch up your game, add a little weight to the bar, add a little resistance, and see what God does. See how he grows in your faith as you trust him, as he brings you into that next season of growth. I do believe it's a season for us to kind of add weight to the bar, to you know, up our game a little bit, but that's an individual decision, okay? So if, everybody say if.
Yes.
If you decide, you feel led to, you want to give, there's two ways you can do that. You can do it online. You can give, we have the boxes here, you can write a check and drop it in there. If you give online, if you want to give specifically to the monthly support, you want to become a monthly supporter of Go Ye Missions, online, you would, in the little drop box for give, you can give to Go Ye Missions, and that becomes part of the monthly support, the $2,300 a month, that goes towards the tuition centers and the local pastors. If you want to give, you know, that's the high rep, low weight option. Okay, if you want to give to the current project, the Vacation Bible School program, you know, that's a low rep, high weight situation. Again, on the Dropbox, you can give to missions. Just give to missions. That's the fund that we supply the big projects from. You can give to that. Okay, you pray, you ask the Lord to lead you. He's going to bless you, whatever you do, in faith with Him, and we know He's going to provide for us and for India. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, cool. So, oh, there you go. There's the target. $21,685 is the support for the Vacation Bible School. Okay, so that's the challenge as we end our kind of our financial series. You know, whatever your routine is, whatever your routine has been, is we're encouraging you to, hey, you know, consider adding weight to the bar. But really, let the Lord lead you. Let Him lead you by His direction. Let Him lead you into a new season of health and growth, and He will do so by His peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Music team, you guys want to come on up here? I just want to give an opportunity here. If you have never before asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, if you haven't put your faith in Him yet, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you would just close your eyes, you know, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to just repeat this with me out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in You. I'm putting my trust in You. I'm giving You the smallest amount of faith I have, trusting You, Lord, to grow it, because Your word is true and You are who You say You are. Thank You, Lord, for the good work You've done in my life. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing and to be obedient to what You have called me to do. Thank You for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.